I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is the bestiest bestie of the pod, Lauren Gismondi! Woo!
Yay, we made it!
Did we?
We did it.
We're doing it.
Things are happening.
How you doing, Lauren? Sounds like you're doing great.
You know what? I'm present, and that is the most I can ask of myself, or anyone for that matter, now that I think about it.
You're 100% right. And we're here today to talk about two episodes from Bob's Burgers, Art Crawl and Topsy. So we're going to start with the season one, episode eight, Jesus Christ, what the fuck am I doing? Called Art Crawl. It was written by Lizzie Molyneux and Wendy Molyneux. I am swinging for the fences with those names. It was directed by Kwang Hee Lim, and it premiered on March 20th, 2011. And according to IMDb, Linda's eccentric sister, Gail, comes to town intending to use the restaurant as a gallery for her paintings during this year's art crawl. Bob is left totally oblivious to the comically explicit nature of Gail's artwork until it's too late. So, okay, I'm going to go say this right off the bat. This isn't a musical episode. It's got 1.5 songs, if that. Because the one song I found credited was Butts, 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 which is them playing off of Heffalumps and Woozles from the Winnie the Pooh movie, I believe.
Yes. And also that weird sequence in Dumbo.
Is it? I saw more Heffalumps.
They're kind of this. I've got both.
Okay.
It's that same drippy, we're going into a weird world of color now, escape reality thing.
And then Gail has a 10-second long song that I couldn't find the title of it, but it's the one, the flashback that is the inspo for the butts, buttholes. So we finally got the butthole cut of Cats, everybody.
Yes, before we even got Cats, for that matter.
So, okay, I know we're starting with this episode, but I want to say this right off the bat, and this is going to probably test our friendship, Lauren. I don't think I like Bob's Burgers as a show.
Okay.
I was watching these episodes and I was hating every character.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
See, and the weird thing is I liked the working girl diehard episode that we did, but I think I don't like these because they're like Louise driven and I don't like Louise.
Okay, that's fair.
Love Kristen Schaal. Mm-hmm. Don't like Louise.
Well, you know, it's not the same thing, right?
I know, but like she honestly, I can't see anybody else voicing that character. You know, it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in Art Crawl, so I mean, this was also, I watched this one first and right off the bat, I was just like, who the fuck do you all think you are judging art? Like, I know it's all subjective and everything, mm-hmm. but I was just sitting there like, I think I chose violence today.
Oh, okay.
I really think I just chose
good violence. Good to know.
But yeah, so this one has a huge guest star, which is Megan Mullally. I'm assuming, I know she comes back in another episode, but is she like a pool of, like one of the pool of actors that comes in every so often?
Yeah, she's on the show frequently because Gail is Linda's sister, so we see quite a bit of her. especially because it's a kid's will occasionally get left in her care, To varying degrees of, success and demise. So yes, but this I think is the first episode we get to meet Aunt Gail.
Yeah, because when she's saying that song, that untitled song, I guess that's what we're gonna call it, I was just like, oh, this is Megan Mullally. Because I didn't really pick up on her speaking voice, but then she started singing and I went, ah, here we are. Here she is.
Yes.
Where she took inspiration from a gopher butt, like a butthole.
Yes. If you don't like the series, I'm not offended. I'm not, this is not going to test our friendship. Everybody's, sense of humor is different. So I'm not offended for what it's worth. Let's start there.
But it's also just like so wild and crazy as a concept for this episode that when they made the promise at the end to tell her that it's not good and then didn't tell her it was not good, I was just like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
You find out later on in the series exactly how mentally unstable Gail is.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You see a little bit of it in the second episode we watched as well, where she comes in, clutch later.
No, we see it also in this episode where she's hanging a painting and like a fork fell and she freaks the
Freaks
fuck
out.
out.
Yes.
So is she autistic?
I don't really know. It's
They
never.
never.
To my knowledge, it's never explicitly expli it's never like she's never given a very specific like medical diagnosis, but she has many neuroses.
So I'm going to say right off the bat, when you initially, we keep backtracking in this, and
That's
it's all my fault.
fine.
So, you initially pitched this as just saying Bob's Burgers, right?
Yes.
Because the show does have musical-y moments, as we see and as we're going to talk about in more in depth, probably. So then, why these two episodes?
Honestly, if you go onto Hulu, which is where I watch Bob's Burgers, they have a little section in the tabs that reads Belted Out with the Belchers. And I just picked the first two.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because I would argue Topsy's more of a musical episode than this one.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes. I had forgotten about this episode. I was like, yeah, we'll start. We'll just work our way through.
So,
Sorry, no real rhyme or reason over here. Just going in the order Hulu predetermined for me.
who remind me, who is Ken? I have a question of saying, is Ken real? Is that supposed to be like Gail's special friend or something? No, sorry. That is what's the son's name?
Gene.
Gene. That's Gene's friend. Is this person real? He says he's like a 28-year-old albino
Oh
or
yeah,
something like that.
no.
No, okay. Because
I'm like, what are you even
again, the the kids, I mean, Louise is like, how do we describe her? She is the take charge and will probably overthrow the government at some point if she
For
hasn't
sure.
already.
For sure. She's a master manipulator. She has typical, what I would describe as younger sibling vibes, where she is, where even though she's doted on because she's small and she's cute, and she kind of fights back with being extra feisty,
And we
extra
never see her with,
controlling.
and we never see her without that hat, right?
Well, actually, there is a whole episode in the series where the hat gets stolen. Stolen by some bullies, and hell hath no fury is all I'm going to say. As Louise,
Jesus.
when she can they take away those bunny ears, it's really
And
bad. It's really bad.
so, at least in Topsy, which we are not in that one yet, but
Right.
it's said that she's in fourth grade.
I think so. Yeah.
And I'm assuming these characters never age.
No, they don't.
Okay. So then Jean is supposed to be what, like in sixth grade or something like that?
If that, I mean, they all go to the same school. So everybody is at 13 and under. Because
Okay.
Tina's supposed to be like in the middle of puberty.
And Gene is like the idiot savant, musically talented person.
Yeah, in this case, yes.
Well, because I remember watch when we did the Die Hard episode, he wrote the music.
Yes. That's the
So
whole premise of that particular episode.
the show's still running, yes?
Yeah.
I have a feeling whenever the show ends, they're gonna like jump ahead to when they're older, and I hope that Gene has like 10 shows on Broadway or something like that.
Maybe, or is like a world-class touring musician or something.
And then Tina, like you said, she's going through puberty, so she's a little horny.
Oh yes.
At least in this episode, she's a little horny. I know
Oh no,
another,
she's that's kind of her character. She's into butts. She
but
really likes the bums.
I know in later seasons she gets a lot of more horny. She gets more horny.
Yes. Yes, because you have to remember, Art Crawl is season one.
Right. So
So
we're
I
still
always like,
testing the waters.
yeah, I like to think when writers are working their way through the first, even sometimes the second season of shows, like the characters don't necessarily know who they are fully yet. And it kind of is like they're experimenting, seeing what
Right.
works, what doesn't. And I think early on, Louise is definitely a lot pushier, a lot more manipulative. And over the course of the series, she become it's still a part of her personality, but it becomes less pronounced as she becomes like a bit more compassionate and understanding of others.
Right, because in this one, she's definitely not that.
Correct. That
She
is
is the
absolutely correct. Yes.
complete opposite of that, especially when she
Oh, with the other
hires.
kids.
Yeah, when she hires the other kids and is basically like running a sweatshop
Yes, on the
making
boardwalk.
art. Don't worry about it. Art crawl. So, I mean, there's not really a lot to talk about this episode, I guess.
Not as much, but what I would like to add here is that what I like that they've kept from this first season and has continued the whole way up until this current point is they've kept utilizing those certain musical licks to transition from scene to scene.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why it's interesting. Like, yeah, it's not a musical episode in the way we think of, like, it's a musical kind of thing, but music definitely is super informative in the show itself, especially the use of the ukulele, I think, is what's being what is often utilized. So I don't know, it does give the beach vibe, and they live in a town on the, is by the ocean. So I like and appreciate when they utilize music to kind of add to the ambiance, to the environment that we're in.
Because isn't Linda like a musical theater girly?
Yes. And the actor who voices her has said that he based the character off of his own mother, who is from Long Island, and is like your
Yeah.
typical Long Island mom who loves to sing, even if she's not good at it. She loves it. And they nobody, of course, they try to tell her to stop, and she just doesn't know how to listen.
Yeah,
So,
we're talking about John Roberts here, who, if I remember
yes.
correctly, he was the one that did like the Tupperware YouTube video. It's
Yes.
Tupperware,
Yeah.
and had
Yep.
that whole, my son is gay. Gay,
Yes.
gay. He's here, he's
Yes.
queer. Yeah.
Yep.
So
Amazing how where those YouTube videos took this person, you know?
I know, right?
They've been working as a professional voiceover actor for the last, I don't know, probably, oh, it's been 15 years, I think.
Well, so
12,
this, I
this,
mean,
14, 15 years, something like that.
14
Yeah.
at least, because like I said, this one came out in March 2011, and now it's,
There you go.
July 2025. So, like,
Exactly.
almost 15 years. Damn.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so let's get into season 3, episode 16, Topsy. This one, I feel like we'll have a little more to talk about because it's so wild.
I love
This
it,
one was written by Lauren Bouchard and Nora Smith,
though.
directed by Tyree Dillihey. Let me make sure this is the right and I didn't fuck up. Nope, I was right. Tyree Dillihey. It premiered So, funnily enough, you picked two episodes that premiered in March, 2 years apart. This one premiered March 10th, 2013, and according to IMDb, the Belcher kids take on a Thomas Edison fanatic. So the premise of this one, like I said, it's another Louise-centric one. I didn't mind her this episode because I like kind of understood her, you know, where she was coming from. She's doing the fourth grade science fair, and her. She's like, I'm just gonna do a volcano because that's what everybody does at some point. You have,
It is a rite of passage as a child.
yes, as an American child, you have to do a volcano for your science fair at least 1 year. And her teacher, there's a substitute teacher in who, is a whack job, like he, Mr. Dinkler. In like in love with Thomas Edison to the point where I'm like, do you want to fuck him?
Man, you know what? Yes.
Probably. This one also has one song credited to it. However, it's more of a production. So would you say that like this is the first time Gene is like showing interest in writing music or creating a show?
I think so, because Work Hard or Die Trying Girl is
After
after
this.
this. So yes. But even in earlier seasons, even in like I think the second season, he has a band, but he gets kicked out of his own band. So it's so yeah. And so music is centric to who Gene is over the course of the whole series, and it's actually really sweet in a lot of ways because he has that Casio keyboard that I certainly had as a kid that made all the noises and you know the dog barking and the sirens and stuff like that, dolphin clicks, good stuff. So I have a soft spot for Gene. I really do.
So I'm not 100% sure of the validity of this story. I'm assuming they made it up that Thomas Edison electrocuted an elephant.
Anything's possible. And
You
let's
know.
remember that this is the guy who really was deep into eugenics. So I don't know if it's such a far-fetched idea, truthfully. But I also didn't look it up. So don't quote me, I guess. Don't come for me. Or you
I
come for
mean,
me and I'll be like, I don't know.
I'm not seeing it on any of like the on the Wikipedia page for this episode, on the Wiki page for this episode, nor the IMDb trivia for this episode. So, oh, wait. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe not the episode, maybe an actual history. Hold on.
Hold, I'm looking at, well, I'm looking at the IMDb page. So I found a trivia fact that may not actually be true. According to the IMDb trivia that I'm reading,
It's real.
no.
It was a film in 1903.
Yeah, so in 1903, the Luna Park Zoo at Coney Island decided to put Topsy the elephant to death after three deaths by trampling, initially deciding on a death by hanging. They're going to hang an elephant. The zoo and SPCA agreed on a combination of poisoning, hanging, and electrocution. The power used for the execution was 6.6 kilovolts, which killed her nearly instantly, rendering the other two methods moot. It was witnessed in person by about 1,500 people and immortalized by Edison Electric as the first actual death on film. Thomas A. Edison's involvement has never been conclusively confirmed nor denied. Circumstantial evidence has been used for such argument. So, like, the way that they presented on the show is fictitious because it seems like they don't really talk a lot about this part, it felt like. They mentioned the tramplings, but you know, there was no like committee, and it seemed like it was an accident that he's electrocuted an elephant. Yeah.
think so. Let me rephrase that. I think it was framed as it was done purposefully, not that it was
Okay.
done as an accident.
Well, almost electrocuting Tina, that was an accident.
That part, well, obviously, but I'm talking about like the
Right, the
actual
actual
story
elephant.
itself, the real story.
I may
Because
have
so
glossed over the backstory.
I don't know. That's okay. That's okay. It's important for us to make that distinction, I think. No, but in the real, but I got the feeling that the electrocution in the origin, in the actual real life story in 1903, was not act like they didn't depict it as accidental in their show,
You
in
know
their
what?
presentation for the science fair.
I think you're right, because it was like that was the driving force for Louise to
Yes, she
like,
wanted to prove that Edison was an asshole.
right. Not only because she wasn't able to show her
Her
volcano for the second
volcano.
year in a row,
Yeah,
but also the librarian voiced by Billy Eichner. This episode had a lot of people in it.
I
Billy
know. We
Eichner. Gail, voiced by Megan Mullally, came back. Kevin Kline was a voice of the
Mr.
landlord.
Fish showed her, yes. And Zach, later on in the series, Zach Galifianakis plays Mr. Fish showed her's brother.
Oh, good.
It's they have a bunch of famous people that come in and hang out and party with them.
But
Todrick
it.
Hall eventually as well. Like there's a bunch of singers that come on the show for other musical episodes and stuff like that.
But it's interesting because Jean, okay, let's, so Louise wants to put on this performance piece,
Yeah, basically.
recreating how much of an asshole Edison was. And Jean is like, let's make it a musical. So he like blows it up even further. But
Yes.
I'm surprised. So then Gene proposes that Gail and what's his name?
Odor.
Mr. Fish Odor basically sing it in the rain it.
Yes.
And
Yes,
no
because they
one
come.
calls it out, which is very fascinating.
No. But what is funny is the fact that they clock themselves and they realize that they don't, or that the kids realize they can't sing. That
Hey,
got
they know their
me.
limitations.
They do. It was just very funny because Gene, of course, at first believes firmly in his ability to make music, and all of a sudden is like, ah!
So he sounds like he's more of a composer, writer,
Yeah.
songwriter than
Yes.
singer songwriter.
Yes, which is fine. And it works. And plus, we get that brilliant duet, two brilliant duets, I guess, technically, because there's that first musical number and then there's Electric Love. So, yeah, we get some
Aren't they the
goodies in this
same?
one. I wasn't sure if it was the same song or if it was one leading into another. So, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
I read it as one song that was morphing throughout the process.
Okay, that's fine too.
And like once they realize that Tina isn't a singer, and Mr. Fish Odor and Gail are there just 'cause.
Well, yeah. It was Gail who was upset about something with her cats, and Mr.
And
Fishoda was trying to get the rent.
yes. And I mean, I guess if you have Megan Mullally and Kevin Kline, you're gonna make them sing at some point.
Oh, yeah, it's probably in the contract.
Because in other episodes, does Mr. Fishorder sing?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like I said, music permeates the whole series.
Right, but I wasn't sure if they were like, hey, we have this like big name, a sort of A-list actor. Let's like show off all of his talents.
Yeah, because you find out later on exactly how eccentric Mr. Fish Odor is. And again, we get Gail later, and Gail's completely insane with her cats and everything. So there's a lot. There's a lot.
So Electric Love, I think, happens twice in the episode, where we get the science fair portion and then the end credits moment.
Yes. And then, of
I,
course, yeah, them singing in the restaurant and stuff. Yeah.
yeah, but I mean, like the full scale, with underscoring and the chorus of kids, or
Yeah. Oh, yes, the children, right.
I think I preferred the end credits one, but I feel like I preferred that more because the one within the episode, they were cutting to other moments and other bits happening because Louise hired, you're gonna have to help me out again. Who's that guy? The one that was doing the pyrotechnics.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't.
Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. That's how you know. I'm like blanking. It's so
Okay,
bad.
let's see.
Teddy.
Teddy. Okay.
I was like, Bobby. I'm like, Bobby isn't right, but it's something that's two syllables that ends in a Y. Teddy.
Yeah, Teddy.
Because
There he is.
I can hear Christian Schaal screaming his name. Teddy! Flip the switch!
Who I'm a he's a series regular
Yeah,
or
he's Bob's essentially best friend. He's always at the restaurant. He's always hanging out. The kids do call him Uncle Teddy sometimes. So yeah.
it's so wild that like the one rule for this science fair was that there was no adult involvement, and I'm like, but you have to.
Yeah, somebody has to be supervising those children.
And then there's a B story about
Oh yes, the two parents and the spice
yeah.
is.
So Bob has spiceps, which are spices attached to, I want to say, spandex or
Yeah,
something
like
that
an
you,
armband or
yeah,
something.
that you wear around your biceps. And then Linda hates that idea, but creates the spice rack, which is basically like a bandeau bra that has spices on it, so you
Yeah.
wear it around your chest.
Yep.
And okay, so they somehow enter into the science fair. We're not gonna put logic into this, but the episode ends where one of them wins, but it's never mentioned. Because the show seems like very episodic, where like the next episode is something complete, another adventure, something completely different.
Exactly. Occasionally they sequence things, but not often, where you get like a part one, part two type thing. But
Right.
no, it is definitely like ripping pages out of somebody's diary.
So, who do you think won? I'm voting for Spice Rack
Yeah, from a logical point of view, Spice Rack makes more sense to
because it's
me.
so funny.
Well, there's that, but also it's just like access is easier. Whereas if it's on your arms, it involves a little bit more of like chicken winning, chicken winging, winging, chicken winging your way to figure it out.
I'm gonna have so much fun trying to spell that out for the quote.
Chicen, chicken,
CK.
whatever, fine. Chicken, chicken, winging,
And
WINGINT,
G-I-N-G.
winging,
Okay.
winging.
Or
So I promise it.
should I do WINGIN apostrophe?
I don't
Oh.
know. I
We'll
don't
see
do
how I feel.
grammar.
We'll see how I feel that
Like,
day.
words are hard. It's almost 11 o'clock at night. I don't, and it's been, for those who aren't aware, we're doing this in the middle of the heat wave. I don't really know where I am or what's going on. The
This
fact
is
that I'm even
gonna
speaking in
be
complete
a
sentences.
super fast episode as well. So future
That's
me is gonna be
okay.
super thankful about editing this.
No, but you know what it is? Like, well, each episode is only 20 minutes long. So it's not like we're going to be, it's not like talking about an hour and a half, 2 hour long movie where you do need like an hour to get through all of it. You know, this
Right.
isn't that. And in a way, that's kind of nice.
And I will say, Lauren Bouchard and Nora Smith did write Electric Love,
Yes.
and Lauren Bouchard co-wrote Butts, Butts, Butts with John Dylan Keith.
Yeah.
So it seems like they have their own serious composer.
Yeah. And Lauren Bouchard, I think, is the creator of the program, if I'm remembering correctly.
Let's find out.
I'm pretty sure. Think about the end credits. I'm almost positive. I'll be embarrassed if I'm wrong.
Yep, they
Okay,
created
good.
He created it, and I mean, yeah, and he created Central Park,
Yep.
the actual musical show.
Yes.
But it's so cool that he's able to also write the music for it, 'cause that means, like, it's now all him. Like,
Exactly. It's in-house.
it's kind of like the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where Joss Whedon wrote the music and lyrics for that as well as the episode. So
Right.
it's great that it's like him, and he's able to, like, be able to talk about what he wants and everything.
Yeah, and it also, what I like in addition to that is that it's a very clear through line from going from the dialogue into the songs, because all of this, because he was writing the episodes as well, right? So I like that the characters, that their characterization exists consistently between the two.
I will say, Butts, Butts, Butts in Art Crawl did feel like it was like a Family Guy cutaway moment.
It was.
But Electric Love, even Louise's ending monologue about how Thomas Edison was evil and she started the pyrotechnics, felt like it was part of the
Yeah,
show.
it's part of the music.
But I mean, like, I feel like that if we were in the world of Bob's Burgers, imagine with me for a hot second, we're there. I feel like Louise is improving that moment. However, it does feel like Gene wrote it into the show. It felt natural, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm agreeing with you that, like, it didn't take me out. It felt, like it was a complete package.
Right.
So thanks, Lauren.
And no, that's what good writers do. I can't take credit for it. I'm like, that's what good writers know how to do, is
Right.
connect the dots for us in the audience, and we can just follow the map.
And Dinkler's the worst.
For real. But I also enjoy the like Billy Eichner's character. His librarian comes up every once in a while too. And that's just his MO, is speaking in one way and then all of a sudden turning and doing like that, like, hasty. Is it bad to call it a gay whisper? I'm like, that's what it reads to me.
It's the stage whisper, which is also the gay whisper, so you're right.
Happy
Because
Pride, gay whisper.
they go to the library and he's just like, Topsy.
He's reading, he's reading.
Yeah, he's like, Thomas Edison in the biographies, look up Topsy.
I didn't say anything. Yes, I did. You started something. You have to help me finish. I don't start. I only start things. I don't finish them. That's my problem. I was like, is this the basis for your character and romance?
Which, okay, I also don't understand how Thomas Edison is the subject of a science fair project, because I was like, isn't science fair project you're supposed to, like, come up with the hypothesis and then prove it or disprove it by
Yes,
experimentation?
which is why Andy and Ollie, I think, get third place for how much air is up there.
Yes.
But also, in fairness to like that, like the teacher, Mr. Dinkler, did tell the kids that they if he like if you did a assignment about Edison, he would be extra enthused about it. So I think that's why it gets a pass in being like a scientific biography.
Copy. I mean, technically, she did do some sort of science, the
She had
pyrotechnics.
to. Yeah, well, I'm about to say the fact that they tried not to electrocute Tina twice on
Man,
a yoga mat.
I love the details in this episode about when you see them building the costumes and you see the tape that's holding together the trunk. Like, I will give them credit. It is very well done and very
It
thought
is.
through, 'cause
Yes.
they could have easily just, like, did whatever they wanted to and, like, justify it by saying it's a cartoon, so who cares about logic and laws and rules and all that. But they went the extra mile to, like, you see her taping things together.
Right.
It honestly felt like children made this costume, which is great because that's the thing I have with movies when they're like, let's go to a costume party and everyone's wearing couture. And you're like, but you're supposed to be 16 years old, like, and in the middle of nowhere. Like, how did you get this couture gown?
What am I supposed to do with this? I don't get it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No, I don't think so. I'm
Would
like I said.
you, so like we said, Art Crawl really isn't the biggest musical episode
No.
that musicaled. Was there another one that after you watched Art Crawl, you're like, damn it, we should have done this one instead?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There are definitely other episodes that are more of the character singing. Yes.
Okay.
My personal favorite is it's one of their Christmas episodes, where Gene has his favorite Christmas album that's vinyl that we find out is the last one that exists. And
In the world?
yes, and
Wow.
they accidentally the I think one of the other I don't think it's one of the kids. I think it's one of his parents accidentally breaks the vinyl. It's an accident. And Gene flips out because he's like, that's my favorite album. Oh my God, I can't celebrate Christmas without it. And then the Belchers try to find it and they're going around. And then ultimately they make a recording of themselves doing all the voice parts and all the mute and like play, pretending to play all the mute instruments for to recreate the album for him, like on
That's
a digital,
sweet.
like on a digital file. Yes. So it's one of those, there's a couple of really good ones, but I was like, that's holidays. So I was going to say maybe wait till we get closer to the winter holidays. And because there's a couple of their Christmas episodes that are hysterical for one, but also they are, and there's a lot more music in the Christmas episodes
All
too.
right, Lauren, I'm willing to do Christmas episodes. You're kind of selling me on it. That one sounds sweet.
Yeah, they're cute.
And it,
If
and
yeah, the
like,
Christmas ones are very cute.
and I think I like Linda, and these were
Oh, I'm
lacking Linda.
sure. Yeah, there's
Even
a lot. Well, we can give you more Linda. We can give you more Bob because I also love H. John Benjamin, and especially at one point in the series, there's a crossover episode between Bob's Burgers and Archer, and that
I
is, oh, it is gold.
And they are so the Archer is in their animation or are they in Bob's Burgers animation?
It's an episode of I forget when now. Oh my gosh, because it's not the whole episode because they do split universes. Like they go back to their appropriate world.
Of
I'm
course.
pretty sure that it's Archer. Archer is the one that crosses into Bob's Burger, where Archer has a concussion and he's imagining this other life for himself as Bob. So it's the cast of Bob's Burgers animated as Archer.
Shut up. It's kind of like when Jimmy Neutron and Fairly Odd Parents did a crossover episode.
Exactly.
And then
Yes.
they were both in each other's animated
Yes.
world. Animated style, I should
Yeah,
say.
yeah, yeah. That was a big
Oh.
deal when it happened because I mean it's very different. It's FX and Archer is like NC-17 practically, and then Bob's Burgers is kind of like PG-13. So I think it
Teetering
had to
on R sometimes.
sometimes, but like as far as like the language goes and like the content, especially the sexual and violence content, Archer definitely is the more adult themed of the two. They have a viewer discretion is advised message before every episode,
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Okay.
Sharp. Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I only have one sharp between both
Okay, let's
episodes.
start with sharp then, I guess.
I'm sorry. Again, I think I just chose
No.
violence today.
That's John. I'm like I said, this is not going to ruin our friendship,
Well, I think
okay?
it's also because of outside of this,
Ooh.
things out of our controls
Oh yeah, sure.
that is affecting me personally.
Got it. Okay.
But I did sharp the spice rack.
Okay, cool.
When she said that, I laughed my ass off.
Perfect.
'Cause it's, like, I love a good pun. I love a
Yep.
good pun. The spiceps was good, but spice rack. Come
Yeah,
on.
Linda made it better.
Yeah. What about you? What were your sharps for both episodes?
I love the guest talent on this show. I mean, Megan Mullally playing Linda's sister.
You know what?
And
I'll agree with
especially
you
as
on
we
that
get
one.
to, yeah, especially as things get a little bit like that's really what I mean. The show itself, like the core group of actors that they have, are really delightful. If you ever have the chance to watch their table reads, which they do for Comic-Con, is it's really funny.
Now,
Really, really funny.
the main cast, it's not like Family Guy or The Simpsons where they play multiple characters. They are.
They are those characters. Yeah, they don't. It's not like that. They really do bring in a lot of different actors to voice the other characters. Like we get the Silverman sisters for Ollie and Andy. I think later on, at certain points in the series, oh my gosh, I forget who voices Marshmallow, who's like this drag queen that Bob befriends.
Nina West?
Maybe Nina West, I definitely think, is on an episode, but she doesn't play Marshmallow. Marshmallow is a big black drag queen, so I'm going to say no to that. But
Okay.
there's a bunch, like
Batrice?
maybe I forget. That's the thing is, like, I feel stupid. My, you know what? It might actually be Big Frida,
Love that.
if I'm remembering correctly. And again, it's been a minute since I've seen those episodes because that was early on in the series, not in the last like 5 years.
And like you said,
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis comes
Zach
on.
comes on. Yeah, so I have to give them credit where credit is due. The actors they have that they bring in to do the additional support cast is always like it's the right fit. They find the right voice for each of those characters.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause
Yeah.
I remember seeing, and I think Nina West like reposted it. Like it came out a few years ago or something, but there
Yeah.
was like, do you remember on her season of Drag Race, she wore that rainbow costume and she had like the trans flag costume.
Yeah.
I believe that was the mother-daughter episode.
Yes, I know what you're talking about now. Yes.
Where the animators of the show like drew Nina West in their style in the rainbow, and I think they gave Tina the trans
Yes.
one.
Because one of the artists, I think is Simon Chu, is a big Drag Race fan. Big Drag Race fan. So I've seen a lot of the artwork that they've done. Like so they've done the Sasha Velour with the wig, Jay Coulee. Like this particular artist on the
Yes.
show has drawn a lot of drag queens into the style of Bob's Burgers. Oh, so now I'm thinking about it. There's another actor who's on the show every once in a while, Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong plays their dentist, Dr. Yap, who Tina is in love with.
Who
That's who
she
she's
draws in Art
painting.
Crawl, right? Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right.
So I love that they bring in lots of different people to help bring the stories together, and I always enjoy their writing. And again, like Art Crawl, yeah, okay. It's like I said, it's the first season, so they're still trying to figure out whether or not they're even going to get a second season at that point, you
I mean,
know?
it's episode 8.
Exactly. And I think they did like 13 episodes their first season, so we're only a little bit of the ways in. But I really enjoy the writing collectively, both with the lyrics of the songs and the music and the actual screen teleplays themselves.
Okay. Flats. So
You go
obviously I
first.
wrote these down before our discussion. But I'm gonna stand by them. My first flat is that there are not enough songs. But that's me. I could always go for
Sure.
more songs. And like you said, thank you for letting me know about this because I just went into it blindly. They're still finding themselves, obviously, and they're still playing with format
Yeah.
and the characters. So I will It's a light flat, but it's still like I would just like.
You are right, because this is a show, meaning the show that we are on right now, not the show we're talking about. It's a show that is about musical television episodes and movie musicals. So, yeah, of course, we want more songs.
But I'll give them credit because all of the songs I've witnessed thus far from the episodes are all original songs, you know,
Yes.
and it's satisfying to hear original material,
Yeah.
even though yes, in the Work Hard or Die Trying Girl episode, like it's based around two movies. But like the songs themselves were original, and like the Butts, 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 the unnamed song, and Electric Love are all very like I don't even know what besides Butts, 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 which you were saying you were seeing Dumbo, I was seeing Heffalumps and Woozles. The other songs, I don't think they were referencing anything.
Not necessarily. The
I'm gonna give
closest
them a
thing.
sharp for that. Like they're not parodying
Right.
something.
Yeah, that's not really something they do on this program too frequently,
Yeah.
honestly. And again, I've been watching the show since it came out in 2011. Like, it's not something that they do. A lot of the content when they write the music, especially, is original.
So back to
Well,
flats.
yes, what else are your, what are your other flats, John?
I'm
Please.
flatting Louise in both of these again. I feel like to me, she's a little too much, and I'm just watching these episodes. So I
Sure.
don't have the knowledge you do, and I am judging them off of what
That's
I'm
fine.
watching.
Is that not the point of this activity right now?
I know, but I don't want to get the what I feel like this is the one time I'm going to finally get hate mail from somebody for expressing my opinion. So I just want to like
Oh, no.
come with the caveats that like I do not watch the show ever.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to, because like I said, I didn't like it. It was,
Fine, fine, yeah.
I'll do the Christmas episodes with you because it sounds like they're more fun and it's Christmassy and blah blah blah. But yeah, I'm also flatting Linda for not telling her sister the truth in Art Crawl. Like, girl, we need to have the hard conversations sometimes. I
They
get
don't with
it.
her ever, which is what makes it great.
I get it. It's like a button, it's a joke, it and everything, but I think with this one I was thinking more realistically than
Sure.
Bob's Burgery. And then my last flat is for Tinkler. Fuck him.
Right. Fair. That's fair.
It, does he come back?
Think so. Not to my, but I mean, if he does, it's in a very small capacity. But I'm pretty sure after the whole, that whole, eruption happens in that episode, the emotional eruption, not so much the actual physical side of things. Like, I don't think that the school would want him back anyway.
True. Did you have flats?
Ooh,
It's
good
okay if you
question.
don't.
Oh, give me a second. I'm sure I can think of something. I would say if I, if I'm going to be picky, so let's be picky. I would say, similar to you, I wanted more music in the first episode. I had forgotten that there wasn't a lot. And like I said, so I'll take the fall for
That could, but
picking
that
an
could.
episode that like I just didn't remember.
But that could also be Hulu's fault.
It could be, but I don't really know what how they decide what's musical and what's not,
True,
truth be told.
but like you said, like the interstitial music is a big theme throughout, and like if I feel like if the song Megan Mullally sang in the flashback was just like a little longer, I feel like they had something because it was, I don't even remember what she was singing, but I remember I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And like, obviously, she's gonna paint buttholes because that's the whole point of this episode. But like, if it was just like a minute long instead of what, 25 seconds or whatever it was in the show, because like, I get it with this, strict time frame of television that you have, every second counts.
It does.
So if you add more of the song, you have to take away somewhere else.
Exactly. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm fairly sure that there might be more left on the cutting room floor somewhere, you know?
Obviously.
Like maybe they let Megan Mullally do a whole musical number and they were like, well, this is great, but we only need 30 seconds to get our point across.
We need a 32 bar cut of this song.
Exactly. No, it's exactly that. You know, but that's the reality of writing for television, right? Like there are these limitations in order to make something work. I think my other flat is the fact that they do almost kill Tina. That Tina definitely almost dies. So I mean that was, you know, like, whoa, okay. That's very dark.
I mean, I like that she had that vision with Topsy.
That was so cute.
Wait, I want to see who voiced Topsy for it. Because I'm not. Oh, Larry Murphy, who voices Teddy, voiced Topsy.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Which I love this show that Kristen Schaal is the only like series regular female playing a female.
Yes, that's correct.
Everyone else, for the most part, like this regulars, I mean, are.
No, I know
all
what you mean.
Men.
Louise, yeah, Louise and Linda are both voiced by, yeah, guys. Dudes.
No, Tina, you meant.
Yeah, sorry. Right. Yes, Tina and Linda.
Yeah, Dan Mintz is the other name that we haven't mentioned yet. And
he's Eugene.
No, he voices Tina.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting confused now. I don't know what I'm talking about.
He, oh my, oh, well, he was, I thought he was, I'm looking at his IMDb. He seems like he's a day player, but he's primarily on Bob's Burgers, it looks like. Good for him.
Yep.
I love that. I would love to see him in interviews just so I know what his actual voice sounds like, because obviously, like, I feel like him and obviously John Roberts are putting on voices.
That's why it's fun to watch them, the Comic-Con table reads, because they do speak as themselves. And then in the beginning, you know, when they're introducing themselves, talking about what episode they're going to do a reading of, and then they get into their characters once they sit down.
Like Kristen Schaal may affect her voice a little bit, but like,
not much.
That's her voice.
Yeah, and that's H. John Benjamin's voice as well.
Right. And
that's just his voice.
Eugene Meerman voices Gene, and I'm 100% sure he puts on a voice.
Especially when Gene gets excited. Yes.
Yes. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I think I will give Electric Love another shot.
I like Electric Love. They'll say autopsy at my autopsy. I mean, how cute is that?
And you know
it's
what?
Adorable.
That is
adorable. You can't.
That
tell
is
me
also
it's not.
Smart writing because our friend Lauren is in the mind of the character, and he's like, okay, Gene is 10, 11, like writing a song, and he knows he has to rhyme things, but like, yeah. What rhymes with autopsy or what rhymes with topsy? Autopsy. Okay.
And what's funny is they do live next to a funeral parlor, so like that sort of that world isn't foreign to the kids. There's episodes where the kids go and they play at the funeral parlor, which is pretty fantastic.
Like even in Art Crawl, they mention the person who runs the funeral parlor comes in and
yes,
and Bob is like, "Would you put these buttholes up on your funeral parlor?" And the guy goes, "Nope." But Lauren, I think I'm going to call it. We're done with
That's
the episode.
That's fine. No, it's all good.
We did it.
We did do it.
We did Bob's Burgers, Art Crawl, and Topsy. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to plug or promote?
Oh, it is summer. So I am, there is like nothing going on. It's great.
Love this.
I'm
for
like,
you.
I'm, I, yeah, me too. No, seriously. Like, this is like the calmest time of year for me. Like, I'm off the next 2 weeks. I have nothing going on, and I'm so okay with it. I'm a bad actor sometimes in this way, I think, where I'm just like, hey, man, nothing's going on, and it's awesome. I know so many people who are like, there's nothing going on, and everything's terrible.
Right, but I know you're hustling.
Yeah, always. So it's gonna be
And
nice to just chill.
are you accepting new students, new voice students, in case somebody who listens to this is
Actually,
interested?
possibly yes. The reason that I didn't tell you, like, I can share this now since we're talking about it. I don't know if it's anything I can really plug or promote, but I can tell you what's happening, and then you can choose whether or not you want to keep this information in the
Okay.
episode. Okay, it's up to you. So, I actually, on a whim, submitted my resume for the only bilingual Italian English school in the country because they're seeking a musical theater teacher.
That's amazing.
It's here in New York City, so I would and so I'm on my last round of interviews and demo lessons and like meeting with the division and department heads at the school. So it's entirely possible that I will, I mean, I've kind of been moving my life in this direction anyway of like teaching during the day and then being able to perform at night. And like if this actually happens, it's like a full-time legitimate teaching job during the day. And then that frees up my nights to like start doing like off-Broadway shows and stuff like that again.
Ah, oh, I
And
love this for you.
me too, and like teaching in both English and Italian.
Oh my God, Lauren, I want this so much for you.
Thank you.
I
I want
really
this for
do.
me too. So good juju, everybody. I accept vibes, I accept prayers, I
Hey, if
accept
anybody
juju.
at this school that Lauren is not going to name because we're not associated with them yet.
No.
If you're there and you just listen to this whole episode of Lauren, obviously she's got a great personality. You want her as a teacher there. Lauren, show us some of your Italian. Just say like some basic phrases.
Some basic phrases in Italian. Okay. Buongiorno, come stai? Mi chiamo Laura. Sono cantatrice e attrice e educatore.
Love that. I have no
Should I
idea what
keep
you
going?
said. No, I have no idea what you said beyond my name is Lauren.
Okay, good. We got that. Awesome.
And if you want to talk, well, so it sounds like we're definitely going to be doing the Christmassy.
It'll come back to haunt you, John. Bob's Burgers, one more time.
But that one that you described about
The
the
album, yeah.
record sound it, but it sounds sweet and like. Obviously, this family, this is a messy family, so I'm ready to talk about that.
Yeah, and like I said, part of the reason I honestly love the show is because Linda reminds me so much of every of so many moms of my friends' mothers growing up, like all kind of amalgamated into one character.
I see that. I can see that. I
Yeah,
totally
it's
can see
every, and it's
that.
only because like back in the day, all of our friends didn't have cell phones. So if you wanted to even talk to them, you had to call the landline house number pretty
Lauren!
much and have to go through somebody's parent. And
Right.
that's why I'm like, I listen to her and I'm like, oh my God, it's like I'm listening to every single one of my friends' mothers. And it's oddly comforting, frightening, but also comforting.
And if you, the listener, want to talk more about Bob's Burgers, or if you want to try to convince me that I like the show, go right ahead. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. You've got to get better at promoting the new YouTube channel, everyone.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, make sure you watch episode 450 on the YouTube channel and stay
Yours.
tuned for other videos that may pop up on there. They're all at Buttasong Pod. Okay, so if you were working, you the listener, were working at Hulu, would you put Art Crawl in this subcategory that Lauren found it in, or would
Belt it
you
out with the Belchers.
belt it out with the Belchers, or would you like, I don't know, substitute it with another episode, or yeah. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be talking about something completely different, but finishing out a trilogy, and we will be discussing Descendants 3.
Nice. Nice.
Lauren, thank you so much for coming back on. Lovely to see you.
Yes.
Hopefully we're not melting in our apartments, because I know I'm like 3 seconds away from melting and mine. Yeah. And everyone, drink water.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Eat some bananas. Keep your electrolytes up.
Oh
Take
yeah.
care.
Oh, bananas. That's a good option.
It is, especially if you get like me and you're like, your electrolytes are all out of whack because you sweat so much. Gotta get your potassium and your magnesium back. Very important.
Goodbye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.